Well, good evening, everyone. A couple weeks ago, we had a song that was supposed to be the song of prep, and at the last minute, we decided we absolutely hated it and it wouldn't do. And Andy said, "I don't know, Spirit of the Living God, let's just do that." And I was like, it's so short, it's, you know, whatever. And Tony put together a trio, this was a couple weeks ago, many of you are probably there, and it was like, it was so good, I had to admit that I was wrong, which I don't love to do, but I did. And then, you know, said that it felt right for today, and it certainly was, so thank you guys, it was really beautiful. I love it when I'm wrong, when it brings out that, you know. So I'm Sammy, I'm one of the pastors here, delighted to welcome you all to worship. Today marks the beginning of a brand new sermon series. You guessed it, we just finished one, but we're starting another one right off the bat. This is our October series. So it is, in the next 5 weeks, we'll be leading us up to Election Day, which is a big day. It will also be leading us up to the day when we dedicate our commitment cards. So many of you might remember last year was our very first year of stewardship. That's right, Broad Street Ministry did stewardship, and I hope that we did it in a way that made you all feel good about what we were doing together. So we're going to take another shot at it this year. And so the thing that we are going to explore throughout these next 5 weeks is the world that God calls us to create. So each week, Andy or I will preach from a selected text that instructs us concerning how we are to engage with creation, how we are to think about our gifts, our motives, our decisions, and how God is calling us as a community to participate in the world that God is bringing about, a world that is connected and balanced. God calls us to take stock of who we are and what we have so that we may participate in what God is up to in the world. So that is what we will be exploring throughout October. It's going to be a wild ride. With gratitude to God and to one another, let us pray. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rebecca, and Leah, speak to us this day. Inspire us to hear your words and do your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Michelle read today from the book of Genesis, but before we get into that, I would like to look at the genesis of our very own city, Philadelphia. Look back to when William Penn was conceptualizing and creating this city that many of us call home. You see, our friend old Billy had grand dreams for this city, and he was able to create basically from scratch. He had a blank slate, and he could carve out the streets and the plots for houses and the businesses all how he saw fit. He was very practical and efficient, something I really respect about him, as I love efficiency. You see, he had seen cities that were cramped, and they burned to the ground, or they were ravaged by disease because they were built almost exclusively of wood, and there was not a green thing, a living thing in sight. So he sought to build a city that was more spread out, one that would be impervious to mass fires and that would be surrounded by green spaces in an attempt to ward off disease. You see, Penn was a man creating a town or a city, but ultimately he was a countryman. And he wanted a green city before that was even a thing, before it was cool to go green. His plans for houses and estates included orchards and green space, a yard for every house, which in some places, Upper Darby is one of them, this is a reality. William Penn hoped to create a city with all of this green space, but he also wanted them to be a place, a central meeting space, one that facilitated strong relationships, civic engagement for all of its citizens. He sought to centralize all of this, so he put it right in the center of the city, where City Hall is today. He designed a central square of about 10 acres of green space and then surrounded it with schoolhouses, the Quaker Meeting House, the State Houses, the Market House, all of the important public buildings, all centrally located. And so today we have City Hall in that weird green rectangular thing that makes me crazy. But then in all of the other quadrants of the city, there are also parks. These are central places, meeting places, and they're located within the quadrants themselves. So the idea is that within the city there are places for people to gather, places for people to be in relationship with one another, places for people to be connected to nature and creation. Because Penn believed that we lose something when we are disconnected from one another and from creation. And so this is part of Philadelphia's history. It's part of the story that we have inherited, and it's one that I think is worth lifting up. Because the genesis of Philadelphia was idealistic and hopeful. William Penn was handed a chunk of land and then given authority to mold it however he saw fit. And for the most part, he was a faithful steward of the creation over which he was given care. He was a human created in the image of God who sought to build a city that would enable its citizens to be faithful, to be connected, and to be engaged. And now we too are part of this history, part of this vision for Philadelphia, and we too, made in the image of God, are given authority to shape and mold, called to be stewards of this city where we call home. And so we can do this in the spirit of Penn, but I will say, I will admit that he is not perfect, and neither have we, which is why it matters that we also consider Genesis, the real Genesis of the world, which is laid out in Scripture. For when God was creating the heavens and the earth, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image. Let them fill the earth to subdue it and to have dominion over it." These are powerful words, words that can be misconstrued, words that have been used for great evil. So I think it's important that we explore for a moment this concept of dominion. It's a word of great power. You see, rulers have dominion over their people, priests over their people, nations over other nations. Words of power. But inherent in that power is responsibility and consequence. You see, a ruler with great power may act as she sees fit, because she has been given that power, but the way that she rules her people will have consequences. People cry out when they are treated with injustice. They revolt when they are ruthlessly oppressed, and also, God has been known to destroy kingdoms, entire kingdoms, where people were ruled ruthlessly. The prophetic texts are filled with denunciations of kings whose dominion was characterized by selfish exploitation of their people. So then, yes, we have dominion in this sense, biblical sense, dominion, power, authority to create and shape the world that we live in. But it's important to remember that our authority cannot and must not ever serve our own purposes. We are not to exploit creation for ourselves. We're given the authority to rule as a result of being created in the image of God. In ancient Near East, a king, any king, bore the likeness of the god of that nation. So to be made in the image of God is to be given authority to rule in God's place, to rule how God would. And we all know that story. We tell it every single week at this table. We know how God rules, never through exploitation and always for the purpose of reconciliation. A self-serving ruler goes to war with Rome, not to the cross at their hands. So we are not self-appointed rulers of the world, given authority to foolishly rule in service to our own interests. No, we are a people created in the image of God, called to create a world where all of creation is connected and in harmony. And what is of utmost importance here is remembering that though we are created in the image of God and given dominion, we are not outside of creation. We are rooted in creation. We are a part of it and given paramount responsibility to care for it. So then if we are part of creation, how could we exploit it for our own needs? Our dominion is characterized by a service to that which we are a part, the whole, not just ourselves. And when you truly belong to something, when you are a part of it, you are accountable to it. Your decisions are no longer made merely for your own good, but for the good of a whole. And William Penn understood this. The creation of the parks to provide space for people to be connected to creation and to one another facilitated this kind of connected city, this connected community, where people saw each other every single day and had no choice but to be accountable to one another. The declarations of belonging that we do in this place facilitate this kind of connected community, where we verbally and on paper make commitments to one another. We become accountable to one another. Every single time we dine at this table, we see each other, we feed each other. It's impossible to not be accountable to one another at that table. Being rooted in community means that our decisions of how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we use our energy is rooted in a desire to create a community that is edifying for every single person who calls this place home. And it all works because we are connected to one another. We have been given an incredible honor to be God's rulers and creators on this earth, in this city, in this sanctuary. We have an opportunity to create a world full of God's beautiful creatures who are reconciled to one another and living in harmony with one another. But in order to do that, we must root ourselves in creation, root ourselves in community. Take seriously our call to rule and create as God would. And to do this faithfully, we must see one another, be a part of one another's lives, dig in the dirt together, make promises to one another, be accountable to one another. To seek to create a world, a city, a community where our dominion is characterized by service to what is good for all. This is the beginning of the series as we consider the world that God is calling us to create. It begins here today. It begins in this place and at this table. And to take it seriously, the call that we have been given, we will remember that we are rooted in community and in creation, accountable to one another. And after that, there are no bounds to the world that we will be able to create together. Thanks be to God. Amen.